Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Finolex Cables Limited Q4 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Mamta Samat. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Seema. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Finolex Cables Limited Q4 FY24 earnings conference call. Today, we have with us the senior management represented by Mr. Mahesh Viswanathan, Deputy CEO and Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin, I would like to say that some of the statements that will be made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature. It is subject to unforeseen risks and uncertainties, and the actual results could materially differ. We will begin the call with the opening remarks from the management, after which we will have the forum open for the interactive Q&A session. I will now request Mr. Mahesh Viswanathan for the opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mamta. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this earnings call of Finolex Cables. Thank you very much for joining us today. I'll be very brief with my opening remarks. The fourth quarter, as well as the full year, went rather well for us. We posted a 15% increase in revenues in the quarter, in the year a 12% increase. And for the first time, we crossed 5,000 crore revenue. I think that has been a landmark for us now. In terms of volumes, practically all product lines showed an increase in volumes. In the fourth quarter, electrical wires was up 15%. Cables improved 50%, while we do have a very low base, 50% was still impressive. Communications, the metal-based cables all reported an average growth of about 14%. Optic fiber was slightly lower in the quarter. In the year, of course, it was a slightly different story. I'll come to the year again. All new products within the FMEG offerings, so the appliances, conduits, lights, all of them showed fairly good volume growth, and both in the year as well as in the quarter. Full year, like I mentioned earlier, value-wise, we had a revenue growth of about 12%. And while commodity prices continue to remain volatile, we had to make price adjustments on our selling side as and when we thought it was appropriate by quantities we thought it was appropriate. For the full year, volume in wires grew about 15%, in cables about 26%. OFC was the only category where the volumes were lower for the full year by a fairly large number, 30%. But then the year also was witnessed to no tenders floated by the government, as well as delays in contract closing with the telecom companies. We did close some contracts in February and March, so there was some volume coming in towards the latter half of the year. But during the year, of course, that business was impacted. We still remain optimistic on the optic fiber cable side as we continue our investment there. And we still believe that as a country, our current demand is far, far below its potential. The newer product segments crossed 200 crores for the first time. We ended the year with 225. And I think we are on track to reach the 500 crore over the next 2 to 3 years. In terms of profits, for the quarter, 196 crores, which was a 13% improvement. And for the full year, 753 crores, which was a 17% improvement from the earlier year. Similar improvements were also there in the PAT levels. The other features during the of the operations during the year was we had a very strong cash flow this year. Our management of working capital was fairly tight. We ended the year with 11 days of receivables and about 46 days of inventories. I think that's by far the best among the peers that we have. Cash flow generated from operations was about 575 crores, higher than the 380 crores, around 380 that we achieved last year. Our expansion programs are going on track. We had three major expansion items. The first one was the E-beam, which has been delayed for a long time now. I'm happy to say that the first of the machines has been installed and it is currently being tested before commissioning. The suppliers engineers are currently working on the final testing, post which we will have to call the people from the ARC to give us a certification to go ahead. So that's one machine from on the E-beam side. So I hope that we will have products available in the market in the next 6 to 8 weeks. The second machine is likely to be received here sometime next month. Around the second week or third week of June. By then, the first machine would have been fully commissioned and then they will start working on the second machine. So by August, September, this project products from these machines will be available for the market. The second large spend that we had was earmarked for the fiber and cabling of fiber side. There were three parts to it. The first part was the preform facility. The structure for the facility is more or less ready. Currently, the HVAC related items are ongoing. Once that is done, the equipment has been received, it is in site. That will be then taken inside for installation. So we still hope and we believe that we will be ready for production sometime towards the end of this calendar year. Our hope is that by end December we should have the first preforms out of this facility. The second part of this program was on increasing the fiber assets. So currently we have a fiber drawing capacity of about 4 million kilometers. We will double this to 8 million in two steps. So preparations are on for making that happen. Right now the concentration is on getting the preform facility up and running. We will put more efforts onto the fiber side once that is done. The last part is on the cabling side. We currently have a capacity to cable about 8 million kilometers of fiber. We will take this up to 10. And the building for that is already ready. We have not populated it with machines so far, but that is a 6 to 8 month lead time. We were waiting for the demand side to pick up a little, and in February when BSNL announced its tender for the third phase of BharatNet, that will provide us an opportunity to utilize our capacity. The tender was floated in March. It was scheduled to open first week of next month. All indications are that it will get pushed back by about a month or so. So by current indications, we expect orders to flow in sometime around September, October this year. We hope to get some positions in the tender. This tender will involve on the fiber side consumption of anywhere between 16 million to 20 million kilometers of fiber. The final length would depend, of course, on the actual distance that needs to be covered between various gram panchayats and the BSNL rings. But the estimate is somewhere around 15 to 18 million kilometers. So that would be the consumption over the next 3 years. This is the centrally sponsored program. Besides this, there are also expectations that some of the states which were not part of this program will come in for their phase 3. And we expect a similar or probably higher demand from those states as well. So we believe, and as we said in the past, we believe that there is quite some gap between the demand potential and the actual demand that is that has been showing up year after year. A country like ours should be capable of consuming somewhere around 60 to 70 million kilometers of fiber, whereas our current consumption is about 20, 22, somewhere around that. So there is a large gap there. There is a huge potential, and we're basically getting ready for that. The last part of the capitalization program, last major part was expansion of the auto cable capacity at our Uttaranchal site. Orders have been placed. We expect the equipment to come in the third quarter of this year. So hopefully from fourth quarter onwards, that capacity will also be available. We do see a need to add more capacity there. There is a fairly large auto manufacturing environment in Delhi, NCR and Rudrapur areas. So this facility would cater to the needs from there. So with this, I think I've covered whatever I wanted to say at the beginning. One last point was that at the meeting of the board on 23rd, the board has recommended a dividend of 400%, which translates to a payout of about 21.5%. So that's it for the introduction. So I now I'm happy to answer questions now.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Achal Lohade from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, if you could help us with the, the capacity utilization, if you could quantify what is the capacity and the utilization for these segments, for wires, cable, and OFC?
Currently, on wires across various product lines, we are around 70-72%. Cables will be lower. We have much more capacity than we are currently consuming. It's less than half. On OFC, like I mentioned, during the year there was not much of a demand from the government side, so the capacities were idle for some time. Currently, of course, we are somewhere around utilizing about half. So there is spare capacity at the moment to take care of any needs from the big tenders at the moment. And we are building more for the future. So as the years go by, we should be able to utilize those.
Got it. And sir, if you could quantify the capacity addition, what kind of capacity addition are we looking at in wires in percentage terms?
Well, typically we start planning for additions once we cross the 75 mark. So we're nearly there, so we should start looking at additions. So there are some plans, but then they're too early to talk about at this point.
Understood. And is it possible to know, how much of our wires, like the, if you could classify in terms of the, less than 1.1 kV or in that sense, what would be that mix? Like we will be more low voltage wires, absolutely, right? I mean, more of residential.
Yeah, our revenue comes broadly from wires, so not the cable part. Wires account for, within the electrical cable segment, wires is, the electrical cable segment is about 4,200 crores, out of which about 200 crores is cables and the rest is wires, various kinds of wires.
Okay, understood. And, if you see from a, let's say, 4-5 year perspective, would we have gained market share in wires, we would have just maintained, or is there any market share loss we have seen?
I don't believe we've lost share. We have we have not gained too much as well, but I think we have been steady.
Understood. And sorry, I missed that part on the FMEG, the new products part. You said 225 crore revenue for the current year, FY24. But there was something you mentioned for current, coming year or medium target. Any color on that? What kind of aspirations we have?
We had set out our aspirations, I think sometime back. We talked about it in one of our earlier calls. So we said our first step to cross would be the 500 number, and that we were expecting to cross in the next 2 to 3 years.
Understood. And any expectation, any guidance on in terms of the growth for coming years? OFC part you kind of covered a bit, but what about the cables and wires?
Okay. Typically, I have not given a guidance in terms of numbers, but the direction what we would like to see is a growth which is 2 times the nominal GDP.
Nominal GDP growth. Okay. Understood. That's very helpful, sir. I'll follow back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Manoj Gori from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. So my question here is, so you gave some outlook on the demand environment. Can you throw some light probably from sector basis like construction-led demand activity, autos, pharma, refinery, or agri? Probably can you give some commentary in detail on the demand side?
Sure. I think construction activity has been fairly strong over the last few quarters. And part of the result is that you see our growth on wires at 15%. So that has been a driver for us. The second area where we focused and where it has helped us also has been automobiles. There again, there has been fairly positive growth. Agricultural applications this year have bounced back to what it used to be. We used to be one of the largest companies on the agricultural application side, and 2 years ago we had lost, dropped down a little bit. But I think we've caught up and grown there, and that is one product group where I believe that we have gained some share. Quantifying that number is slightly difficult, but I do believe that we have gained some share out there. That's on the electrical wire side. As I mentioned earlier, on the power cable side, from where you will get into refineries, from where you will get into steel and so on, our presence in that, our distribution and transmission, our presence in that area is rather small. Out of a very large market of about 25,000 odd crores, we get a revenue of about 200 plus. So there is nothing much that I can specifically talk about there. But I think this gives you a flavor of where we are.
Yes. So, is this understanding correct that probably on the electrical cable side, ECS segment, we should expect similar kind of growth momentum to continue during FY 2025?
I think, yes. I think construction, infrastructure building, if 2023-2024 is a trend line to go by, I think there is definitely more to come in the coming years. If everything is normal post-June 4 again, I don't see why that growth momentum that is there today cannot be kept up.
Okay, sir. So second, on the pricing front, so obviously, the LME prices have shot up significantly, especially during April and May. So have we been able to, or probably here, I would refer it to you as well as on the industry side, have we been able to pass on the entire impact, and probably we should see normalized quarter with normal profitability during Q1 and coming quarter?
We've had quite a volatile period during the year. There have been times when the price, when LME had dropped, and then, of course, last three, four months, the LME has been consistently climbing up. We have taken actions as and when demanded, and our effort always has been to pass on the changes, either which way, whether it is going up or going down. There would be a small lag when it is going up, and there would be a small pull when it is going down. But effectively, yes, that's what we do. So the last price change that we announced was actually effective today. So we have been making price changes as and when it is necessary. Margins, with the kind of changes that have happened in the last 4 months, margins might take until the coming quarter to revert to normalcy, but I think it's close by. It is not very far.
Right. So somewhere we can deliver roughly around 12%-13% range that we have been doing for the last two, three years.
Yeah, I think so. 12%-13% should be doable.
Right, sir. And so with communication cables, especially when you look at, so for the last four, five years, the margins have been quite volatile, and demand has also been very volatile. How should we look at from the profitability point of view?
At the moment, the profitability does get hit if the utilization on capacities is low. And like you said, the demand has been fluctuating quite a bit. As I mentioned in my earlier remarks, the potential to consume is fairly high. Actual consumption is substantially low. And part of the reason is who's going to fund this gap. Government is a large spender in this area, but if they delay the spending or push the spending back by half a year, then you do get these kind of abnormalities. But we do see that the intent is to digitize the economy. The intent is to make sure that everybody is connected in some way or the other. And the intent is also to make sure that wherever you are, whether how far-flung you are, technology should reach you in terms of connectivity. So with those plans in place, and I think more importantly, with budget allocations having been proposed and made, it's only a question of either this year or the next year. There is no question of whether it will happen. The question is only when will it happen. So I think that is a positive sign. And what we have tried to do is to see how can we capture that demand, our rightful share of the demand, and how can we provide a full service. So that is why we are integrating ourselves backwards into making preforms expanding on the fiber side so that we can also keep our costs within control and therefore remain competitive.
So lastly, if you can highlight what have been the contract price rise that we have taken during March, April and May.
I'm sorry?
What would be the quantum of price increases that we would have taken in the electrical cable segment during March, April and May month?
I think it totaled to about 10-11%, I think.
Thank you, sir, and wish you all the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to join the question queue, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Anirudh Agarwal from ValueQuest Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on great performance. My first question was on the e-beam cable CAPEX that we've undertaken. So basically the point is that from this CAPEX, what is the peak top line potential that you're expecting? And you know, how much time do you expect to take to scale up this segment in terms of, you know, both product certifications, approvals that you might require as well as from a sales perspective?
Okay. So we expect the we are putting in two accelerators, one which will throw beams at 1.5 MeV and the other one at 1 MeV. The first one that is going online would be the 1.5. So this will handle the larger sized cables. So applications for the solar industry, those could start off immediately. Further applications would be in instrumentation, in railways, in auto, where higher temperature resistance is getting is coming into play. So all this is possible. So I think in a full year, the potential could be as high as 500 to 600 crores. So I think that's broadly the potential that we're working on.
Understood. So this could be expect FY26, you know, could be that year wherein you achieve closer to full potential, if not full potential, given the kind of demand that we've been seeing for your peers also across, you know, these product lines?
Could be. It depends only on, you talked about the certification parts. So when it comes to instrumentation, railways, you do need to get the clearances from the railway authorities, from RDSO in fact. So that offhand, I don't remember how long it takes. So that, barring that, I think everything else should be okay.
Understood. And my second question was on the EHV cables JV that we have. So if you could, you know, update on the order book of that segment now, and how do you see that scaling up going ahead? Because even in EHV, some of your peers have been reporting very strong, you know, growth and full order books, etc. So how are we placed there?
Okay. The order book for the JV is very promising at this point in time. So we have confirmed orders of close to 280 crores at the beginning of April. Besides those confirmed orders, there are also orders worth about 190 odd crores where we are L1, but because of the code of conduct which was announced, the final contract has not yet been signed. We are waiting for periods after 4th of June for that process to happen. So we're starting off the year in a fairly happy environment. The issue is not so much about making the cables available. The issue there is more to do with execution of projects, where typically you get into issues around right of way. Around the routes that are finally approved by various authorities that are required to sign off. So if you are talking of, let's say, some city like Chennai or Pune even, multiple authorities get involved in the approval of lane process. So you have the utility itself, you've got the police, you've got the municipality, and God forbid if it goes through or under a railway line, then you get the railways involved, or if it goes near a cantonment, then you get the military authorities involved. So getting permissions from them and then starting the contracting work is the one that we are facing challenges on. So that's an experience that we have to gain from, and I'm sure that every year we are doing better than the previous year. So we should get it right sooner than later. But I think the opportunity is fairly large there. The size of the market, I think, is approximately close to 3.5 to 4,000 crores in size and growing. Requirements are coming in from multiple transmission companies primarily. Some part of it is in the lower end of the EHV profile, so 66 and 110 kV. And we do see some graduating towards the 220 kV range as well. The market definitely is growing, and I think we are there at the right time. We need to get our act around the execution right.
Perfect. So, you know, this order book of 280 crores that we have, what would be a fair estimate of the execution period considering, you know, all the challenges that we just spoke about? Is 12 to 15 months a fair period to assume, or could it be longer than that in your opinion?
It depends on the site and the city. For example, we've done projects in Delhi within 6 months. We have also taken 2 years in other places. It depends on the actually the location, the issues involved in the location, how crowded it is, plus what other complications come up when you start digging. Unfortunately, in our country, not many such installations are properly mapped. So many times when you actually start digging, you find there is something else there, and then you need to make sure you're not disturbing that whatever was laid earlier. You could have a water line, you could have a sewer line, you could have another power line going below. So those are things that create a problem, especially in inner city areas.
Understood. So is it fair to say that, you know, this business would have hit some kind of inflection point now after, you know, all the pain that we have had to endure over the last few years? Now, is this the time wherein, you know, 25 onwards becomes like an inflection point wherein you see material scale up in execution, top line, as well as then margins starting to come through?
I surely hope so.
Perfect. The final question from my side was on overall margin profile. So I think you mentioned that, you know, 12-13% sort of margin band would be sustainable even at current copper price levels. What sort of margins are we doing right now in the housing wires versus our, you know, different auto, agri, industrial cable segment, if you could throw some light, and any internal levers that you're exercising to increase margins?
Obviously a packed product like packed in a branded product like our general wire, obviously the margin numbers would be better. Auto wires, we are dealing with, it's a B2B product. So there the margins are going to be thin. And of course you are dealing with the auto companies. So their demands are fairly high. And we are working really on razor thin numbers. So there the numbers are not really comparable. I at this moment I don't want to get into the actual numbers that are being that we derive from each sector. Suffice it to say that general wire, agricultural wire, both are more or less at par. And next come the industrial wire, and finally sectors like automobiles.
Understood. Fair enough. Perfect. Thanks, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Vidit Trivedi from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, thanks. Question is on
the your voice is a little garbled. Can you speak up, please?
Yeah. So I'm saying,
sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Trivedi. We are unable to hear you clearly. If you are connected on your headset, I would request you to please switch to your handset, sir.
Yeah, am I audible now?
Yes, sir.
So my question is on the CAPEX front. Any guidance for the coming year?
Yes, we had announced a program of 500 crores. Last fiscal, we spent 160 out of that. So the balance would be spent largely in this fiscal. There might be a small spillover to 25-26.
Thanks a lot, sir. That's it from my side. All the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Anyone who wishes to join the question queue may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Varun Basrur from Julius Baer. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, good afternoon, sir. Congratulations on a good result. So my question has to do with you know, how your distribution footprint is improving. Any commentary you could give on you know, how you're engaging better with your existing distributors and retailers, and you know, how, where you see expansion potential?
Okay, I should have done this in my introduction. I'm sorry. Yeah, we have talked about this in earlier calls as well. A few years ago, we started this program of having two sets of approach to the market. One is to retain our existing channel partners who would help us more on the project and B2B side, whereas on the retail side, we would focus on distribution. Like I mentioned in the past, we have around 700 distributors across the country today. Some distribute all products, some are specific to one or two product lines. Depends on what they are strong at and what the market really requires. We still have some uncovered areas, especially in the east and the north. So that is something that we will continue to focus on. As I've said before, we have a technology backbone to help them monitor their progress. We focus on how many retailers are we engaging with. At the end of last year, we have made a unique billing of close to 120,000 retailers, which in 22-23 closed at just under 90,000. So there has been an improvement there. We are also tracking to see how many of these retailers buy every month, how many of them buy more than once a month, more than twice a month. So that way the engagement with those retailers could be improved. And we are looking at what which part of the product basket is somebody carrying, are there some missing SKUs, for what reason, we try and analyze those and try and put things on track. To support all this, our market spend has also been increasing. We have budgeted for approximately 1.5% of revenue on market spend. So that could be advertisement, it could be POS material, it could be other promotional events or expenditure there. So this is something that has increased considerably from the earlier times when it used to be somewhere around 3/4 of a quarter percentage. So there has been a recognition of the fact that at the retail end, you need to attract customers and you need to speak to the customers in a direct fashion. And at least for us, TV advertisements or social media advertisements are a fairly good way of engaging there. So those are areas where we continue to focus on and gauge the results. So that's where we are at this point in time.
If I may add, so what is your experience with channel financing? Do you see any benefit in sort of improving the availability of channel financing to the existing dealer and retailer base?
Absolutely, we do have a channel finance program, but our program is slightly different from many of my peers. The major difference is that our program is a non-recourse program to Finolex. We are very clear in our mind that while we should have a tool which helps fund the customer, we are not a bank. And therefore, credit risk is something that we are not willing to take. And if, all programs that we have with multiple agencies, there are banks involved, there are fintech companies involved, all of them are on a non-recourse basis. Currently, I think about 700 to 800 crores of revenue is generated through that. It could be much more if somebody was willing to take a credit risk, but that is something that, as a policy, we do not.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Srinidhi from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers. So a couple of questions on margins. So do you think you can scale back high single digit or early double digit margins in your communication cable segment? You used to do that a few years back.
Right. I was going to say that in the past we used to have high single digits. In fact, we've also had double digits there. The issue is the volatility on the optic fiber segment volumes. So you have a capacity, and if you do not use it, then that fixed cost lands on you. That's been the only issue. Barring that, I think the other product lines within the communication sector are reasonably profitable. They do get high single digit numbers. But then with OFC accounting for more than 60% of that sector, it depresses it. But like I mentioned earlier, we are fully committed to the OFC business, and we do see that the potential demand gap that is there will be realized sooner than later. It needs to be done typically every time there has been an improvement in communication abilities, it has had a positive effect on the GDP, and I'm sure in this case also there is no it's the same. So as you get into 5G applications and new use cases, it is going to drive up economic activity considerably. And like I mentioned earlier, most often it is funding the capex that is required that seems to have been the issue. As a country, we should have an answer soon.
Right. Cool, sir. Thank you. As a second one, I just want to confirm that in the electrical cable business, there you are guiding to maintaining the margin what you did in last financial year, right? Broadly?
Yeah, because if you look at the... if you compare performance over several quarters, over several peers, you will find that traditionally we have been more or less top of the heap there. So I think we are still there, not far. We're probably number two in that lot right now. But I think to sustain something beyond 14, 15 would be a challenge for anybody there.
Okay. So, sir, I'm asking, like, if you see in years of 21 and 22, when there was a very high copper inflation, we saw some dip in the margins, right? Which makes sense as well, because that you shouldn't pass on entire margin on. But this time, you think that given the copper inflation is very high, you would still be able to maintain the margin? Hmm?
I think yes, we should, because at the moment we are.
Right. And the last one, if I may, I think you gave us some breakup on the electrical wire business, 4,000 crore being wires and 200 being the cable. Would it be possible to share the breakup of the 4,000 crore wires business?
Yeah, sure. Between 60 to 65% is wires, which go into construction, which go into general usage. About 10 to 15% is automobiles, another 10 to 15% is industrial, and the balance is agriculture. These would be the four large buckets.
Great. Thank you for answering my question, sir, and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Parth Mehta from Valum Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. Just to continue on the distribution side, if you could just help us, what would be our retail touch points for this year?
So unique billing has been approximately 120,000, but we have a universe of two times that much that we are interacting with. Obviously, when you meet a retailer, you're not going to convert him on day one. It'll take multiple visits before you start occupying their shelves. So that's the so about 210,000 is what we are currently engaging with.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Anirudh Agarwal from ValueQuest Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the follow-up. Two questions from my side. First one was on copper prices again. So what is the hedging strategy, if any, that, you know, we follow? So I know that, you know, in our business, largely there is a pass-through that is done. But in the interim, if there's any volatility, any hedging that we do, or how do we manage, you know, sourcing and pricing of our copper supplies?
Okay. My purchases are largely domestic, although the pricing is element driven. What do? We buy only on average. So, for example, we are in the month of May now. All receipts of copper that I have taken in the month of May will be priced at the May average. Now, the May average will be found out on the 2nd of June or the 3rd of June. So obviously, the supplier is not going to wait until then. So, for cash flow purposes, there is a provisional price which we agree on, and that is what I settle each time material is received at our end. And at the end of the month, when the actual average is discovered, we settle the difference. If I have paid more, I get the money back. If I have paid less, I pay the difference. That is what we do. And so what we are effectively doing is that we are following the market. We do not take long positions on the metal. We are very clear that our ability to forecast or predict which way metal prices would move 2 months from now, 2 days from now, or 2 years from now, it's your guess versus mine. So we don't take the risk on that account. We are very clear that the cost of the metal is a pass-through. So we will pass it through. There may be a small lag, but that's a temporary issue that you will have to manage. The flip side of this is, then what do you buy? What quantity do you buy? We buy only what we can consume in a month. That estimation is has been reasonably good. We are not far away. There may be a 5% variation, but otherwise we've been able to manage that part fairly well. So the inventory carrying risk that we have is also rather limited. So and we believe that that is a risk that we can live with. So if I have to sacrifice margin for a month, so be it. But then this is the practice that we follow.
Got it. Second one was on our capacity utilization in the sub-segments of auto and agri wires, given that we've seen very strong growth this year across there. Do we have sufficient capacity for growth this year?
Agri, yes. Auto, by the time we require it, our additions in Uttaranchal will be online.
Understood. And what is the quantum of expansion there? How much are we expanding the capacity now?
I think we are taking it up from. I think it's a third, if I'm not wrong.
A third. Understood. Perfect. Perfect. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mehul Mehta from Nuvama PCG. Please go ahead, sir.
Good evening, team. Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Very clear.
Yeah. Congrats on great set of numbers. Pardon my ignorance, but I have a question on EHV cable side. So apart from universal cables, how is the competitive landscape? How many other players and what is the size of that market? Can you update on that, please?
Yeah, I think the market size is around 3,500 crores or so. Universal is a large player there, but then you also have other players like KEI, KEC, Polycab, and LS Cables. LS is a Korean company which makes up to 220 kV here in India. And then you have Sterlite Power as well. So these are the larger players. There are some others who were planning but have they are there up to 33 but not beyond 33.
Okay. Thanks, sir.
Tarrant is also there in 66, so that's another large player in Gujarat.
Sure. Noted. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Manoj Gori from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. So my question here is with the retail touchpoint. So if I'm not wrong, probably somewhere around FY20, FY21, we had around 35 to 40,000 retail touchpoints, and which we increased to roughly more than 2 lakh touchpoints today. But when I look at the overall performance of probably volume growth, we have been lagging versus what we would have actually aspired to be. Given that we have been multiplying our retail presence, so what do you see, what is your personal assessment over here? And probably how satisfactory the responses have been? And probably if we are lacking somewhere, so what are those areas where we would be focusing in the coming years, which should lead to significantly better than industry growth rate? That's also.
Okay, I understand your question. First is that 40,000, 45,000 was an estimate because we were going by 4,000 channel partners multiplied by on an average reach of 10. So that's where we were going from. We didn't really have data on how many retailers were being serviced by those partners. Secondly, yes, you're right that while we are now engaging with close to 200,000 plus partners, our billing is only to about 50% of those. Part of this is the effort that is required before you are able to convert a retailer from giving up shelf space on from one brand to the other. It requires repeated efforts. It requires convincing somebody that this is a product that you should sell. While the brand has excellent recall, that is helping us, but you know, still requires a lot more effort from us to get that done. I think basically that is one point. The second is we now have information on what moves in a particular market, and therefore we are able to start tailoring schemes for individual markets and individual regions. I think those should again help us in converting more of the uncommitted retailers, if I were to say that, over a period of time. So these are two things that we should definitely need to look at. We also need to look at how much, what range is somebody carrying, and effectively are we delivering the kind of ROI that somebody, that we promised someone at the beginning. So we did some calculations, we worked out a mathematical model for them, and if we are able to, if you're able to show them time after time that their investment is paying off in exactly the same manner that we said it would, I think that would help us to carry that story to the others and convince us.
So one more point over here. So if I look at some of the peer companies, have been talking about engaging with the influencers, enrolling them under the program. And they believe like that has been one of the major drivers probably for whatever performance they have been delivering. Like what's the update over here? Are we doing this? And what differently we would be doing? Or probably any color over there?
We do engage with the influencers. Now, at the retail level, we engage with the electricians. We have a few programs running for them. A, there is a cash incentive that goes on the cable that he buys, I mean on the wire that he buys. Besides that, there are multiple training and other engagement programs that we run for them. We take a market and invite those people and spend a day with them, talk to them about different practices, what should be the right way to do things and so on. So those are measures that we've been taking. Not now; it's been there for a long time. It's been there in the company even before I joined the company. Besides that, at a B2B level, the engagement has to be with the architects, the contractors, the people that are in decision-making roles in either a developer's firm or a builder's firm. That is something that we probably could do better. We have been doing that, but maybe there is better possibilities there.
Right. Thank you, sir. That was very helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. On behalf of Phenolex Cables Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.